morning. Let's all stand. Take your little book, please. Turn to number 4. Number 4, we're going to sing How Great Thou Art. What a wonderful song to praise our God. Let's sing it out this morning. Number 4.
Oh, Lord, my God.
On this fourth verse, I'd like the piano to drop out, and we're just going to sing a cappella that chorus and sing it like you mean it. He is great. All right, let's sing here on the fourth.
When Christ shall come, we shall come back love.
Seated.
All right, that's a great song, and it's good to sing about the greatness of the Lord. Good to see all of you today. Good to have Angie here with us today. That's always a blessing, and looks better. I hope you feel better. That's great. She does feel better. That's a blessing. Continue to pray for the Goodsons, and she continues to recover, but he has an added prayer request, so they are reevaluating his driver's license after the accident, and so he's got that to deal with. So just pray about that, and he asked specific prayer for that. Good to see all of you. I don't see any first-time visitors. Are there any anybody here for the very first time? All right, so we need to continue to invite, continue just to be out and telling people about the Lord. That's important. People need the Lord. And it is vital that people get to know him. And it's a matter of heaven and hell. It's a matter of being reconciled to God or separated from God for all eternity. And so that's an important thing. I'm going to ask Dan Reed if he would come and lead us in prayer this morning, please.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful to you for your goodness. We're thankful for the day, Amen. A day of rejoicing and a day to think about all that you've done for us. Lord, we are indeed delighted to see your people gathered together. We're glad to see Kenny and Angie here, and Lord, we pray that you'd encourage. We pray, Lord, you'd encourage and help them and the whole family. Lord, help us today to rejoice in you. Lord, you've said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Father, we can follow your word. We can seek to be filled by your Spirit and led by your Spirit. Lord, help us to be people that are overjoyed with your goodness that you've given us and all the good things you've brought our way, the salvation, but then just the help that you give us day by day. And Lord, your word that we can look into and be encouraged by. Father, we pray that you'd be with our pastor today as he preaches. Help us, Lord, to hear your word and respond to it as we should. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The choir is going to sing the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. So I'd like you to take your hymnals, please. Turn to number 5. Number 5, at the end of the at the end of the choir part, or the end of the song, I'm going to turn around, and you all are going to stand up, and you're going to sing with us. Is it number 4? I got to make sure. Sometimes these get goofed up on there. Yes, it is verse number 4. You're going to sing with us, okay? So get ready. It's page number 5, verse number 4. When I turn around, you all know what you're supposed to do, okay?
Thank you.
you all, and you can stay standing. Sorry. You're already standing. You might as well stay up, right? Turn to number 237. Number 237, the cleansing wave. We'll sing the first, the third, and the last here, number 237.
Oh, now I see the crimson wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. The cleansing stream I see, my
third.
I rise to walk in heaven's own light, above the world and sin, with heart made pure and garments white, and Christ enthroned within. The cleansing stream I see, I plunge and hold, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me.
Yes, cleanseth me. Great singing this morning. You may be seated.
All right, let me give some announcements. This Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. will be the mother-daughter brunch, and please sign up if you plan to attend. I hope that all the ladies and daughters can come and be a part of it. I really believe it'll be a blessing to the ladies. Mrs. Lehman is going to bring the message to the ladies at that, but it's a brunch, 10 o'clock, very, very good, well-prepared breakfast. Okay, the men have their jobs, their duties assigned to do that, but it'll be a blessing to you. I hope that you'll come. I hope that you'll participate in that, okay? And then we will be observing the Lord's Supper this evening at the end of the service, but a message tonight on the importance of the blood. The blood of Christ is, I love that song we just sang, the cleansing wave, and his blood cleanseth us from all sin, and that is important to know. If you have not yet gotten your photo taken of your family for the church directory, you don't have to be a member to that. If you come regularly, we want your picture in there so that people can have you in there. My intention is to use it as a prayer list for just to pray over the families of the church as well, but it's there. And then if you got your picture taken and haven't given your information, sign up in this book right here with your name, your address, your phone number, if you want them listed. If you don't want your address or phone number listed, just put your name, but don't write it behind there. But if you want those for the church family, and these directors are just going to the church family. So but do that. How many have to get their pictures taken yet? Okay, we've got a few that do. So see Benjamin out here in this foyer following the service, okay, and he'll get your picture taken, so we have those, and you can get it tonight, too, but we want to get it wrapped up so that we're not tying him up every service at the end of the service for that. I'd like to meet with the deacons Wednesday evening following the service, and then Thursday and Saturday, so Thursday from 6:30 to 8, we have an opportunity for going out, knocking on some doors, and witnessing, and then Saturday at 9:30. And it's a blessing to be able to do it. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, you feel rejected and some of those kind of things. But my wife and I were able to talk to a young lady yesterday who said she has absolutely no church background at all. And she stood out there a little bit chilly, but let us go through the basic plan of salvation. She's going to take it, consider it, think about it. But it's seed that is sown. She had no idea. You know, she has the concept of that there is a God and all of those things. But people need the gospel. They need the gospel. And pray for this young lady. I'm not going to tell you her name out on the radio and all that, but pray that God would work. And at the end of it, she says, I think God's trying to get a hold of me. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. God wants a hold of all of us, doesn't he? Just some good news. Faith Promise giving last year promised was $46,964, and this year $52,160 so far. And so that's a blessing. That's a fairly significant increase on the promised part. And those cards are back there if you want to be a part of giving to missions on a weekly or a monthly basis. And you can do, look, it ranges widely, but you can do $5 a week or $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever you might be able to do. And all of that money goes strictly toward helping the missionaries get the gospel around the world. Those cards are on the back table. If you still want to fill one up, you are welcome to do that. And then when you give to missions, just take the envelope and mark it as the certain amount for missions and just drop it in the box that's back there. Okay, Mrs. Kopp has a petition on the back table out here. So they have denied at a specific prison here in Iowa, they've denied family visits. And you're supposed to be able to have in-person family visits, and so she wants that reinstated for her to be able to go see her son, and it's needful, I think. So if you would sign that petition, you would like to, please do. It's no pressure on anybody to do so, but if you feel so inclined and would like to be a blessing to help her get that reinstated so she can go there and see her son, that would be a help. I believe that is all of the announcements that we need right now. We're going to have a special at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Benjamin. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 293. Number 293 is your all on the altar. This is a personal salvation. Yes, Jesus died for all. That blood is absolutely available to everyone. But that key word is available. We have to accept the gift. The question is your all on the altar? You say, oh, I've accepted that gift. Good. Now, will you give him your whole life? Will you give him your all? You're looking for sweet peace, that first verse says. You've longed for sweet peace. You've longed for faith to increase. You've even earnestly and fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Let's sing it out, number 293.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Let's sing it on the fourth.
Who can tell of the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we will share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to preach a message this morning on the true head of the home. So this is another message for men and guided toward them. Let me say one thing. As I preach this to the men, this is not for the wives then to go home and say, you should. Okay? It is it's for the men. You let God deal with your man. And you, it's designed to be that way. But the true head of the home, and you'll see very clearly where we're going with this as we read the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So let's pray this morning. Father, I ask for your help preaching this morning. God, I pray that I would be able to be clear in the delivery of the message and that your Holy Spirit would take your word and use it in all of our hearts. God, I pray for the men of this church today, all the men that are here. God, that we would be spiritual leaders in our family. And God, that we would do so in the Spirit of Christ. And Father, I pray that you would help us first and foremost as we lead our families, that we would be submitted to you. And God, that we would each one remember that we have a head. And God, I ask that you would please just help us. God, strengthen our homes. God, strengthen our families. Strengthen our men this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is important that every person know Jesus Christ as Savior. That is absolutely vital. If you're here this morning, I'm not preaching a salvation message, but if you're here and you're not saved, you say, what do you mean by saved? It means that you realized you were a sinner on your way to hell. You believed that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, that he had died, was buried, and rose again, and he did so in order to cover, to pay for your sins. And then you called upon Jesus Christ, believing he was the only way, and not trying to help him in any way, but calling out to Jesus and saying, Jesus, would you save me? I'm putting my faith and trust in you. And then Jesus saved you, reconciling you to God, changing your very life. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to be saved. Every one of us need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And on that note, and starting down the message today, I want to first of all look at the man's position. The man's position. Now remember, the man is the head of the home, but I want you to hear this very clearly. The man is not the God of the home. The man is the head of the home, but the man is not the God of the home. God is still God. And God is still in absolute control. And your children and your wife need to worship God. They don't worship the man. And the man does not get in his home to take away the position of God and say, I am all things to my home. God's still God. And it is the job of a man to point and guide his family to God. And it is the job of the man to represent as God the Father, to represent God as he is a father to his children, so that his children understand through knowing him, they can see symbolically what it is to know God as their father. Now that puts a strong picture out there for us to live up to. Because what your children first and foremost are going to think of when we say God the Father, their image immediately is going to go to their father. Now, no father will be perfect, but God is, of course. Now, just as Paul qualifies people to follow him as he follows Christ, this verse starts off, this passage starts off, be ye followers of me even as I also am of Christ. I believe that the head of the home, the man, needs to say to his family, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. I am the head of the home as I follow Christ. I am the head of the home, but I am under Christ, and Christ is the head of me. So for a man to look at it and say, I'm the head of the home, look, you can do that if you want to do that. The man is the head of the home, and God has given him that position. But I strongly believe that every man ought to qualify that statement with, I am first following Christ. Christ is my head. Now you follow me. And it is important that we men have a relationship with Jesus Christ in that way. And remember this also. When a man gets the idea that he's going to, in his home, say, I'm the head of the home, I want you to remember how Jesus Christ treats you because he's the head of you. And Jesus Christ doesn't stand up there and say, I'm the head of you. That's not the spirit with which he leads us. And that shouldn't be the spirit with which we lead our family. Every man also needs to remember he has someone to submit to. You know, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Well, the man needs to remember, because we men love that verse, don't we? We read it, we point it out. Oh, yeah, see that right there? But you know what? We have someone to submit to as well. And his name is Jesus. And so if we look at it and we're not submitted to Jesus, and then we turn around and say, wife, you need to submit to me, we have a spiritual problem. And our attitude needs to be right in that. When a man does not follow Christ, he leaves a spiritual void in the home. And understand that the man is this, it's Christ is over the man is over the wife, the man and wife are over the children, every person underneath someone else. And it qualifies, it says, the head of Christ is God. Do you remember that Jesus says to God, not my will, but thine be done? And so a man needs to be saying, not my will in my home, but thine be done, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want you guiding me so that I can then guide my home. I want you leading me so that I can lead my home. And it is the responsibility of a man to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a man is not walking with Christ, if a man is not reading his Bible, getting the word from Christ, then he is leaving in his home a spiritual void. And I'm going to go further to say that spiritual void will be filled by someone or something. Sometimes a wife is left to take up the slack with the children. That's not the way it's designed to be. Sometimes it's a child steps up and takes up the slack that is left void by the father. Or a teenager may step up and take that. But sometimes the home is just left and some worldly thing. Because remember, not everything spiritual is godly. There are spiritual forces that are not godly forces. And men, if we leave, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we leave a spiritual void in our homes that is in danger of being filled by something else, which may largely be out from under our control. When a man does not follow Christ, he is not only sinning against God, he is sinning against his entire family. Because as much as we see the protection element, Jesus Christ, is Jesus ever going to lead you astray? Never. So if we're walking with Christ, our decisions are going to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. Is the Word of God ever going to lead us astray? Never. There is a safety to your family if you're walking with God. There is a God-given protection just simply by the wisdom used in leading the family when a man walks with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a man is in the Word of God, and when a man is guided by the Word of God, and when a man makes spiritual decisions based upon the Word of God, not just his own whims, we need this direction. I cannot imagine going day after day after day without reading the Word of God. I need it. See, you've been saved for 47 years. Yeah, and I need this book every day. You know why? I still have a flesh. And men, if you're going to feed off of a podcast, you'd better be feeding off the Word of God. There's good information out there that we can get, that we can gather, that can help us in many ways. But to feed off of the world's information without feeding off of God's information, we are headed for trouble. We need God. Men, we need to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be following Jesus Christ. We need to be spiritual leaders in our homes. We need to be praying for our families. And we need God's help. And when we begin to realize, I am under the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to a point in our lives, a point of humility, which puts us in a proper leadership position in our home. Because a true leader is not just going around saying, I. A true leader realizes there is a purpose in leading. And that purpose is not about the leader, but about the people that are under the leader. And may God help us to get that position. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7 through 9 says this, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of man. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Now, a lot of times we take this passage and it's very clear that it's talking about the woman being under the man. But we cannot forget that it also reminds us that the man is under God. You men, we want our wives to honor us, to, if you will, to give us glory. The woman is the glory of the man. They're better in many ways. They're definitely better looking. But we look at that, and it's like, you know what? You see a man coming, hey, this is my wife. And there's just something special about that. And you young men, you got married when you were young. You were young and you got married, and it's like, this is my wife. This is my wife. Don't lose that. Let's keep that same. Hey, and you just, this is my brand new wife. Well, can't we say 30 years later, this is my wife? We ought to be as excited, but I know the newness of marriage is there, but we ought to be, hey, this is my wife. And we expect that woman to be a fulfilled part of us and properly represent us, right? Well, it says, before it says the woman is the glory of the man, it says the man is the glory of God. So as much as we want our wives to properly represent us and not be a disgrace to our name, first we need to give ourselves and say, am I bringing glory to God? Am I properly representing God's name? The position starts with the man. And often is the case when a man, well, my wife's not what she... I want you to first say, are you what you should be to God? Because much of your relationship between your wife to you is going to be based upon your relationship to God. And if you're out of sorts with God, there is a high chance your family the rest of the way down is going to be out of sorts. Man, this is important that we grasp this. It says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now we look at that and we, wow, that's a great verse. Preach on that one, preacher. But I want you to remember, the man was also created for someone and some purpose. Revelation chapter 4, 11 says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So before we men start looking at our wives, you were created for me. That is a true statement. But men, we were created for the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about, well, my wife was created for me, I want, we need to think and say, I was created for God. He wants. Because too often, we say, I'm the head, and we forget who's our head. So I will say the true head of the home is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the underhead of my home. And I am the head. And if I'm not right with God, it's going to affect everything on down. This is a vast responsibility. And as the man then rules his home as the head, the man must remember that his Lord is coming. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 42 through 51. Matthew 24, verse 42 through 51. I want to get a principle here. It says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your," what? "Lord doth come." Now who's the Lord? That's Jesus. Who is he? He's the head of the man. And the head of the man is coming. "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" Who are we servants to? The Lord. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" Now get this, men, who made you ruler over your household? God did. "To give them meat in due season." I want you to remember what Jesus said about meat. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. We continue reading. "Blessed is he, is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." So the Lord's coming back. He appointed you ruler, men, over your household. And when he comes back, he's going to take account. You're going to give account of your rulership over that household. Now read on. And it says this, "Verily I say unto you," or verse 48, I'm sorry, "but, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming," means I'm not going to have to give account. There's not going to be any accountability. I have no head. The head's not coming back. "If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What is it? Men, we have been given a position by God. It is a position of being under the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, to spiritually lead our wife and children that are under us. And he says, if you get out of sorts, and you forget that you're under the Lord, and you begin to mistreat and misuse those who are under you. Here it gives the example of a servant of the Lord beating the servants that are under him. I'll tell you what, God forbid that any man should lift a hand against his wife. But you can misuse those that are under you with the tongue as well as the fist. And you can misuse those that are under you with your spirit and your attitude as well as other things. And I just want you to remember, your head's coming back. And that ought to be a warning to us. But we ought to look at it and say, I love the Lord Jesus. I want to submit to him. And in submitting to him, I want to be the best husband and the best father that I can be for my home. So the man's position is established. I want, secondly, to look at the man's priority. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The man's priority. And some man may say, well, my priority is just to provide financially for my home. That is not your only duty. In fact, that is not your primary duty. It is a primary duty. But Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 7, I want you to get this. Get the spirit of the passage. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee. Notice everything up to this point is singular. This is the relationship between a man and God. Your individual relationship. These commandments are given, first of all, men, to you to be the leader. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God says, I want to bless you. And I believe we can safely take this principle and say, does God want to bless your family? Absolutely. And if you men will say, God has given some commandments, God has given some principles, God help me to live by these commandments and principles, God, I want you to prosper my family, but it is dependent upon me. You know what? You can make all the money in the world and your family cannot prosper. Because prosperity comes largely through a spiritual walk with God and is not largely based upon the financial position of the home. Finances are good and a man is to provide. But men, if you only provide financially and you do not provide spiritually for your home, if a man provide not for his own, especially them of his own house, he is worse than an infidel. So he says, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou, again singular, the head of the home, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Do you see the importance of reading the book daily? These words shall be in thine heart. We are in desperate need of reading this book every day so that we keep his words in our heart, so that we can be the man of God for our home that God wants us to be. It is important. Verse 7, And thou shalt teach them how. What's that word again? Can we say it all together? Diligently. Unto thy children. Now you may look at it and say, well, I bring them to church and the pastor preaches the word of God. Does it say the pastor shall teach them diligently to thy children? Now believe me, I want to preach the word of God diligently. I want to study the Word of God. I want to prepare messages that are Bible-based. I want to feed all of you, and I want to do so diligently. That is my desire. I love this book. And the more I get into it, the more I love it. But it is your job to teach these things diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Hey, the Word of God permeates out of a man who has a proper relationship with his head, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us. Because, men, we are weak, and we need God. The man's pattern, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. So we've got the man's position. We see the man's priority. His priority is his personal walk with God. His priority then is his family's walk with God. His priority is having a home where God is preeminent in the home. The man's pattern, Titus chapter 2, verse number 2, says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now, that's quite a list. Okay, sober means nothing else is controlling you. You're under God. You're not under the influence of. Now, a lot of times sober is connected with alcohol. Yes, it definitely means that a man ought not be taking alcohol because alcohol would then, he would become under that influence. Men are to be under the influence of God, and we need to be very careful what other influence we are under. We're to be sober. Men are to be grave. There is a gravity to a man. As a man grows up, he is to put away, what? Childish things. Believe me, every one of us have a childish moment here and there. Believe me. But we're to be grave, serious, temperate is a man who is controlled. We often use the word self-control, but a man ought to be spirit-controlled. And the best of the word temperate is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. It says sound in faith. Men ought to know what they believe and why they believe it. How are you going to do that if you don't have the Word of God? You know, you take different things. Say, oh, I believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. Why? Well, I believe that this. Why do you believe that? Hey, there's Scripture for it. The man needs to know the book. I'm not saying you need to know it like the preacher has to know it, but you ought to know it. You ought to know why you believe what you believe, and it ought to be able to be based upon Scripture. And when your child comes and says, why do we do this? You better have a Bible answer. And it should be in context with the passage of Scripture, sound in the faith. And then it says in charity. Charity is a great word. Actually, you know, charity has been misused. Charity is misused in this world by somebody that pulls out their wallet and hands somebody something. That's charity. Charity is impossible without Christian love. The very definition of the word would be Christian love in action. It is an active Christian love. It is not the be filled and be blessed. It is, by the grace of God, a person acting out of love for God and having the love of God fill their heart and then sharing that love out with others, and it comes out of them. In our homes, men, we ought to be charitable. See, this takes away all of that gruffness of, I'm the head of the home, you got to do what I say. And it puts us in a, I'm going to rule my home as I'm submitted to Christ. And then patience. Any men have all the patience that they need? Yeah. Guess what? Your kid's going to do something dumb sometimes. Guess what? Your wife's probably going to do something dumb sometimes. Guess what? You're going to do something dumb sometimes. And so what do? Hey, you know, when your wife isn't exactly what she ought to be, let me ask you this. Is Jesus patient with you? And so when we look at this, men, do you want Jesus to be patient with you? When you mess up, do you want the rod of iron coming down, or would you rather that Jesus have some patience with you? And so we take that and we hand that same patience that we want from Jesus, and we give that to our wife and to our children. It doesn't mean we have to put up with wrong. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to lead our home righteously. But if your wife is not where you are, lead her. Encourage her. Honey, come along. The last thing, woman, you're going with the church with me today. Oh, she's going to react real well to that. No. Hey, does it take us a while to grow as Christians? Is it going to take our wives a while to follow us and grow along with us? Is it going to take our children a while to grow along? So what are we doing? We're taking the family and we're leading them. If you want a spiritual wife and spiritual children, who has to be spiritual first? And then jump to verse 7 and 8. In all things showing thyself, let me read verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So the older men are exhorting the younger men, but it says this, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Men, every one of us can consider this. Do you want your son to be what you are? Before you answer that, I want you to answer from a position of humility, not a position of pride. I want you to consider your relationship with God. Do you want your son's relationship with God to be identical to your relationship with God? Do you have some areas, men, to work on? Do we all? And when I say do we all, I'm not saying so as so that we can use that as an excuse. Oh, we all need to still... No. It's just a necessity that we understand where we're at and we start working on us first. And then we bring along the family a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. That word sound, it means unbroken, undamaged. The right kind of speech that cannot be condemned. The way we talk to our wife. And this is something we have to consider. It's something we need to work on. Would you talk to your wife the same way in the presence of a couple of these churchmen that you talk to her separately? Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. When an observer looks on and sees you with your family and how you treat them, what example does that give to the onlookers around you? The need is great. The need that we men have to walk with God and be right with God. The need, and I call it a need because without it, our families will fall apart. Without it, things will not be right. Without us being right, you cannot expect for your wife to be able to be right, and it will have a drastic effect on your children. And children, as they grow up, they can get a relationship with God, and they can fix a lot of the things that happened in the past. But I'm telling you, and I preached on the sins of the fathers a couple weeks ago, there are people that are still damaged to this day over things that took place in their childhood. By the grace of God, you can get over those things. But we need men to be the spiritual leaders in our home, remembering we are under the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the message. I trust that God will use this, His word, to awaken us, to remind us of the great responsibility that we have. And I believe there's men that need to just commit today. God, I've got to walk with you. But it can't just be a necessity thing. It needs to be, God, I want to walk with you. God, I need to walk with you. God, my family needs me to walk with you. And may God help us. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I trust you, the Holy Spirit, and your word to do the work that needs to be done today. God, I pray that the men that are here today, that we will all, and I myself included, God, help us to take registry of this today, to really search our own hearts. God, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to convict us. And God, help us to respond appropriately this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, God's spoken to your heart today. I trust that you will come and talk to the Lord and do business with God. Man, we need God. You'd do well to be down here praying for your family. Praying for God's leadership in your own life. It's time for men to wake up spiritually. Children, your wives need you to be walking with God. They need to see God spiritually alive in your hearts. They need to see men with a passion for the Word of God. Men with a desire to witness. Men with a desire to pray. Tonight, get to look at the blood of Christ tonight, and it's a great, great thing, the blood of Christ. And then you get a break next week, unless Brother Lehman preaches on the men, which maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to tell him to, but no. So two things, if you're going to get your picture right out here in this foyer, and I hope that you'll do it. I'm sure.